Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Youth. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Richard Villanueva brings forth the Word of God.
Doesn't God already know I like him? You know, if you're on Facebook, why you got to push that little button with a thumbs up on it? Don't they already know you like them? Seriously, see, it's the same thing. The same reason people get all buck wild when somebody slam dunks, makes the winning score. Same reason people spend too much money on tickets to a concert. Look, you can listen to their music. You can listen to their music in your car, really loud, in your headphones, on your Beats. You can listen to it all you want, as many times as you want. But the reason you do it is because there's an appreciation when you get loud, when you make a noise. And that's the same thing with church. You know, I believe God appreciates. I think 90% of heaven is the loud section. You know, I mean, sure, God keeps a little 10% off for the people who like to be quiet and reserved, for all of our Baptist brothers and sisters, you know, my Lutheran friends. But for the rest of us, it's a loud section. I think God likes it loud anyway. I mean, otherwise, why do you make babies cry all the time? Shoot, God likes it loud. All right, so anyway, let's do this. Y'all ready to get in the Word tonight? Yeah. Somebody came ready. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and pray. We're getting to the Word. We're going to do this. If you don't know who I am, my name is Pastor Richard. I'm the youth pastor. That's all you need to know. We're getting the Word because I guess the important thing is you know Jesus. So, but let's talk about Jesus tonight. Can we do that? All right. Let's do this. Let's go and pray. We're getting to the Word. So, Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege and the joy of being able to open up this book. God, I thank you that you've given us more than a book, but God, you've given us a love letter. God, you've given us an instruction manual. God, you've given us a direct line from your heart to our heart today. So, God, as we open up this book, God, I pray that it would be more than a book. God, that it would be life to us. God, that it would be truth to us. God, that it would be more than just my ideas or thoughts or philosophies. God, you know, that's just, you know, there's enough of that filler in this world. God, what we need is the Holy Spirit to teach us. The Holy Spirit, teach us what only you can today. Because, God, we came to this place to connect with you. So, Father, of all the things that we do tonight, God, let it be known within us that, God, we left this place having heard the voice of God, having experienced the goodness of God in this place. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for this time that we get to spend in your presence. And God, as we pray these things tonight, God, we pray them for each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire, even around the world. God, whether it's The Way, whether it's Emmanuel Baptist, Trinity, God, whether it's Wildwood, Father God, San Bernardino Community, Judson Baptist, Father God, wherever they are, they're talking about you, God. We acknowledge them as brothers and sisters. And Lord, we ask that you bless them just as they have. Father, even the junior hires next door, those little rascals, God, that you bless them and Donnie and all them hearing and preaching the word to you, God. Lord, let them be blessed just like we're blessed today. So Father, pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, here we are, week two of a week in the life of a boy named Stuart. Where my beef stew at? Little beef stewy, yeah. Stuart, he's our friend that we're following along this series around, and we're learning today to be a steward. We're learning how to become a person who is a good steward of what God's given us. See, it all starts 1 Peter 4, verse 10, 11. Go ahead, put up for me up there. 1 Peter, what we got here is an introduction of what it kind of means to be a steward. God talks about this idea of being a steward. It says, each one has received a gift. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards. See, right already here, a steward is somebody who has something and does something with that something. See, it says, be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. It continues on and says this. It expounds on it. And in verse 11, it says right here, it says, if anybody speaks, maybe that's his gift of speaking, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If anybody ministers or serves or helps, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. You see, the idea that God's given us a gift. It's not just a spiritual thing. It could be a very physical thing as well. Because God says here, the gift could be a talent, something to speak, or it could be an ability, like somebody ministering or serving. And I believe it even goes on and says here, it says that in all things. So if there's a thing that fits within the spectrum of all, that could be considered a gift that God's given you. Spiritual, emotional, social, visible, invisible, tangible, any other kind of bowl you have, all the alls you can think of, that could be it. I mean, for some of us, maybe it's something in your wallet. For some of you, maybe it's something in your bicep. For some of you, maybe it's something in your brain. Whatever it is, God has given you something as a steward. A steward, all a steward is, put the definition up there. All a steward is someone who's in charge of something that doesn't belong to them. That's all a steward is. It's somebody who's in charge of something that doesn't belong to them. Put it up there. A steward is someone who's in charge of something that doesn't belong to them. See, we talked last week, if you're a babysitter, then the children's parents entrust you with their children. And when they come back from their date, they want their children in one piece. A good steward gives children back, cleaned, sleeping, fed, teeth brushed. A bad steward gives you children back, missing an arm, an extra eyeball, chocolate all over their face, the dogs running around the house, eating the couch. That's a bad steward. We will not hire that babysitter again. God's given you something, and he expects you to steward it. He's given you, as a manager, something that belongs to someone else. God has given you something. God has given you this life. The Bible even tells us that your life doesn't even belong to you. You're on borrowed time. You got 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years. Every one of those years belong to God. So when you get toe-to-toe with Jesus, when your life is said and done, and he says, hey, what'd you do with the 80 years I gave you? What'd you do with the 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years I gave you? What'd you do with it? What do you got to show for it? What are you going to give back to him? What are you going to show God that you did with it? See, you're a steward whether you realize it or not. Now, today, I want to talk to you about this because, you know, as stewards, here we are with this church. It's 20,000 member church. We do all these things, you know, and we're here in the Inland Empire. God's given us together as a church, not more than a building, but it's us together. We're a church, and we have a job to do. Now, as we've been talking about the past week or so, especially if you've been in the morning services and stuff on Sunday mornings, but we're getting ready to pay this building off. I mean, we owe $13 million on this building. Not a lot of money, but not really. If you really think about it, you guys ever watch like The Deadliest Catch or something like that? You know that boat they ride in, that nasty old, that's a $13 million boat. So I think we got a deal. or you got ripped off. Either or. Here's the thing is every month we pay like $70,000, $80,000 to a bank just so we could use this building. As a church, this whole, and that's kind of stupid if you ask me, because think, how many people can you feed with $70,000? Think. That's what I'm saying. How many people can you clothe with decent clothes, $70,000? How many missionaries can you send to the Middle East for $70,000? That's a grip. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of help. That's a lot of money that's getting sent to somebody who don't give one care about the people of the Inland Empire. All they care about is buying their next car, their next suit, the next, you know, poochie doodle dog. That's, you know, I mean, whatever it is. I mean, you know. Whatever. Look. And what we're saying as a church is we want to be good stewards. We don't want to, look, this church is going to, we're going to hand this church over to you guys anyway, because you guys are the next generation. And the idea is this, is how much more can we do if we could pay this darn building off? We want to be good stewards of this building. We want to be good stewards of this. So one day when this place is too small, we turn this whole facility into a high school, junior high school, something like that, we can move on and do greater things to feed more people. Because right now, feeding 500,000 people a year is not enough. Giving out 7 million pounds of food is not enough for this church. There's bigger things that we can do. And that's where it all starts. So we want to be good stewards of this. See, there's this principle in nature called sowing and reaping. God created it, talks about it in Genesis. And he says, it's seed time and harvest. It's sowing and reaping. Look, if you've ever done that one experiment in elementary school where you get the little bag with the napkin, you make it wet and you put the seed in there, you watch the seed grow.
then you understand this. Is where you put the seed in the thing, and the thing begins to grow, and the thing it makes a plant. The plant makes seeds, and the more seeds, and they put the. You know what I'm saying? It's farming 101. Future farmers of America. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's simple. It's so simple a child can understand it. And that's the way everything works in life. Some people have mistakenly coined it as karma. No, it's sowing and reaping. That's what it is. Karma's a ripoff. That's a knockoff version. All right. That's the one. They may, anyway. But the real deal is sowing and reaping. And God called us to sow and to reap and to give. Now, I'm going to talk about money, if that's okay. Now, if that bothers you, you can leave now and I won't be offended. But I'm going to talk about money as well as other things today. And I'm not after your money, but I'm after talking about what God talks about today. So let's talk about this idea of stewardship. Because for you to receive, you first have to give. For a person, look, I mean, that's the way it works. That's why the boss gives you a paycheck after you've done 40 hours of work. Right? I mean, how many bosses give you a paycheck and then expect you to work? Doesn't work that way. All right. See, all the adults said amen. In the same sense, you don't get the fruit off the tree until you plant the seed. Right? Brother, you don't get a girlfriend till you ask her out. All right? And ladies, if you're the one that just slow your roll, wait. Okay, all right? Here's how it works. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor Richard, look, I'm broke and I got nothing to give. Let me show you something. Does anybody get allowance up in this room? How much? Do you mind if I ask you how much allowance you get? Yeah, Michaela, how much allowance you get? A week or month? Dang, girl, how much allowance you get? Nice, three chores, $10. That's $3.33 a chore. Is that a regular thing? Get it. How about you? Who? You don't get nothing? Do they feed you? That's pretty good. All right, then you get something. It's just not anything extra. What you get? What is this allowance I speak of? It's this blessing. It's this blessing that comes from above. Does anybody ever go to the movies and your parents pay for it? All right. Is anybody wearing any clothing that was purchased by a parental figure currently right now? All right, even the socks, your chonies. You didn't buy your own chonies, your parents did. All right, did anybody get your hair did and your parents paid for it? All right, your nails done, manicure, pedicure. All right, cool, okay. Do your parents help pay for your lunch at school, the government? I don't know, hell, whatever it takes. You all eat, right? Okay. Let's do this. I found this website. Put it up there. It's called globalrichlist.com. Boom. And what this does is this takes a look at how wealthy you are compared to the rest of the world. Okay, so you get 10 bucks a month. Oh, let's go ahead and figure this out. So 10 bucks a month, $40 a month. Excuse me, 10 bucks a week. So let's just say that's right about 400. Let's just say you make $500 a year, right, in allowance, right, Michaela? That is your annual income is $500 a year in allowance if you do everything you're supposed to do. Let's go ahead and do this. London, put up there. Look, location, we're in America. Go ahead and put America up there, right and above. $500 annual net income, bam. Okay, let's see this. Yeah, thank you. Now, let's see how rich you are, Miss Michaela, on your allowance. Let's see. You are a baller, I think. Apparently in this room, you were the one they're asking for money. Okay. There you are. Okay, cool. Okay, there you are, and that's the entire world. You rank 5 billionth in the world. You are the 5 billionth richest person in the world. Scroll down here, let's see what you got. Okay, you make 26 cents an hour. Now, but granted, a grown man in the country of Ghana makes 8 cents an hour. And that's what he feeds his family on. Go down. Why? Ain't nobody laughing now, huh? This next one right here. Okay, that one don't make no sense. Go ahead. That'll make sense next time. Bam, go down. Scroll it. Coke. It takes you 3 hours to earn to buy a Coke. Every Coke you drink, if you paid for it, it took you 3 hours to earn that Coke. Now, in Zimbabwe, apparently he makes more money than you. All right, next one. Boom. So apparently you're richer than the Ghanese, but not the Zimbabweans. All right. Oh, but this is interesting. In the country of Kyrgyzstan, what you make in a month would pay for two doctors' whole salary. So apparently in Kyrgyzstan, their doctors get paid $20 a month. And they're doctors. But on your allowance alone, if that's how rich you are in the world. Bam. Take me to the top. Okay. Take me to the top here. Boom. Okay. Let's say once you guys start working in the real world, let's get into this. Let's say you make not a lot of money. Let's say you make $10,000 a year to live off of. Now that's below the poverty line in the United States of America. $10,000 a year. Go ahead, give me 10K. Boom, right there. $10,000 a year. And show my results. You are in the top 14% of the world. If you make $10,000, you are richer than about 5.5 billion people in the world. If you make $10,000, show me the next one. In 1 hour, this is how much you make an hour, $5. Now, that's less than minimum wage. If you work 40 hours a week, it would be illegal. It would be illegal for you to get that much money in America if you worked a full-time job, at least in California. Okay, the average laborer in Ghana makes 8 cents while you're making 5.21. Now, I'm trying to make anybody feel guilty here, but show me the next one real quick here. This is where it gets starting to get interesting. It would take a man in Zimbabwe 9 years to get what you earn in 1 year. It would take him 9 years of his life working as hard as he can full-time to earn what a person making $10,000 in America would earn in 1 year. Next one here. That Coke, it took you 10 minutes, 9 minutes to earn that Coke. Zimbabwe, it took him an entire hour to buy one Coke. Take me to the top. In the Inland Empire, the average wage someone who works in the Inland Empire makes is $36,000 a year. That's average, $36,000. It's actually the second lowest in the United States in metropolitan cities. Of like big city areas, which we're in, we're the second lowest income earner in the United States. And we make, I know, hey, you got to win at something, right? it's actually 37. It's 36,900, but let's just say 36,000. Let's show our results. How rich are we? The average person in the Inland Empire working is the top 0.67th percentile. Talk about 1%. You hear about all the protests? You're the 1%. And that's average for the second lowest wage earning metropolitan area. Take me down. Show me the next part. You're making how much? This is pretty good. This is not too shabby. $18 an hour, 18 cents. You know, you're doing pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, not too shabby. While in Ghana, that man is still making 8 cents an hour. Bring me that next one. Show me my Coke. Oh, excuse me this. It would take him 35 years to earn what you earn in 1 year. It would take him 30. That means he would, if he started working when I was born, he would still have to work 4 more years. He'd be working all my life and then 4 more years, my life, old Pastor Richard, to earn what the average person takes 1 year to earn. That Coke, 2 minutes. Boom! That's just enough to fire up your computer. Slam! Especially if it's a PC. And then Zimbabwe, brother's still working on it for an hour. Just to drink a tall can of Coke. I find that in between my nasty, crusty seats of my car. Right? And he's working an hour for that. Next, show me the next one. Show me the next one. That's 157 doctors. What they get paid in 1 month, the average person receives in their paycheck 1 month, would pay for 157 doctors' payment that month. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Now let me ask you this. Who feels like they don't have something to give? I mean, for reals. If this is the world we live in, see, we don't realize this. Look, some of us in this place, you guys have tough financial situations. Maybe your family doesn't have a job. Maybe you're on government assistance. Maybe you are wearing your older brother's old clothes. And I understand that. I understand that that's the area and the place and the times we live in with some of us in this place, with a lot of us, with a lot of the people. But the truth is this, is even a fella who's homeless on the corner with a cardboard sign is making bank. I mean, you give him a dollar? I mean, brother rich in the world. I think we don't realize how much seed we have to sow when we look at it this way. Like I said, I'm not out to make anybody feel guilty about what we have, but with great blessing comes great responsibility. And as Americans, as people who live in the 909, we're blessed. And it's time for us to begin to see ourselves that way so we can give. What could you do with $70,000 a month? What could we do with $70,000 more a month that we aren't already doing? See, sowing is giving out. Sowing, the word sowing is not sewing your shirt. It's giving out. It's planting seed. It's being generous. Reaping is the other way. It's return. It's increase. It's the harvest. It's receiving back from what was given out. See, that's what those two words mean, sowing and reaping. Sowing is planting the seed. Reaping is pulling from what the seed gives us. And we're called to both sow and to reap. We sow so we can reap, so we reap so that we can sow again. And that is, my friends, the circle of life. Don't make me start singing African here. That might be offensive to some people in other nations, but that's all right. I'm American, and I'm born offensive. Okay, so that's what it is. So let me do this. So I stop being offensive. Let me go ahead and roll week two of A Week in the Life of a Brother Named Stewie. Roll it.
I'm still baffled by that lady behind the bush. I'm going to do what any boy on his journey to be a man would do. I'm going to get a drink.
What can I get you?
Double vanilla milkshake. With whip.
Hey, tough day?
Psh, no kidding.
Yeah, drowning yourself in milk hardly edible for humans ain't going to help you.
Bless you.
Hey, I'll call him out with you.
Hey, Sue, here's your milkshake.
Hey, Becky, I forgot you worked here.
Should you be drinking that? Aren't you lactose intolerant?
What? No. Well, kind of. How'd you know?
Stewie, we've only been in classes with each other every year since first grade, and you always used to throw up at all the parties.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Hey, that's a good-looking piece of corn.
This? Some crazy lady gave it to me. She's like, you can count the kernels in the corn, but you can't count the corn in the kernels.
Oh. That's actually an old 15th century farmer's proverb. Yeah, it's actually about prime time you put that in some fertile ground, get it growing.
Really? You mean this is valuable?
Yeah. People don't usually see the value in something that takes a lot of hard work and time. But you put that in the ground, watch it grow, you'll see something pretty amazing. Matter of fact, I'll let you use my farm. Yeah, you'll have to work it, but in the end, it'll be an experience of your life.
All right, let's check this out.
Today was the strangest day. The lady, the corn, and then meeting Lyle at the right place at the right time. It's as if God is really trying to show me something.
Say your prayers, Stewie. Jesus loves you, my little Superman.
Okay, Mom. God, today was a crazy day. And I can't help but think that you're setting all this up. I really do want to know the will for my life. And if this corn is part of it, and I'll do it.
After I planted the corn with Lyle, I went back every day on my way home from school to check on my corn. I had to weed and water the ground. And guess what? After weeks and weeks of work, the crops began to grow.
Yep. Every day, work in the field, toiling and turning, all because he got some corn. Because you can count the kernels on the corn, but you can't count the corn in the kernels. That sounds like, if that doesn't sound like a tattoo, I don't know what does. Although, I'm not saying, never mind. See, Stuart, all Stuart has was that cob of corn. And that cob of corn could be used for so many different reasons. But thank you to Weird Man Lyle. He's helping a brother out and getting things going. And all of a sudden, he's beginning to plant that. He's sowing and he's getting ready to reap. You see, a sower, which is one who does the act of sowing. That's you. A sower sows. Duh, Pastor Richard. I know, write it down anyway. A sower is somebody who sows. See, this is the planting portion. See, in your life, to do what God wants you to do, if you want to reach the purpose in your life, you need to sow. And I'm not just talking money here. I'm talking everything. I'm talking your effort. I'm talking your blood, your sweat, your tears. If you want, I mean, look, if a person wants to make their relationship work, then they have to give before you ever expect to receive. That's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Because the receiving is based on the giving. It's the first step. So in your life, if you want to receive, if you say, why doesn't anything good happen to me? Well, maybe it's time that you start sowing seed. That you start planting goodness, graciousness, blessing. Maybe if you're in a place where you want to be blessed, you're thinking, Pastor Richard, what is this allowance that you speak of? Maybe it's time to take whatever it is that is in your hands and you begin to plant it in a hole in the ground. You find a fertile place to sow your seed. And all of a sudden, maybe allowance won't be your income. Maybe something that you do will become a source of your income. You see, there's a couple things Stewie could have done with his corn. Most people, when they get a cob of corn, what do they do with it? You eat that sucker. You put mayonnaise on it. You get the butter. You get the chili powder. You know what I'm saying? You shove a stick in that sucker and you're like, nom, nom, nom all day, every day. Can I get an amen for the elote man? If you don't know who the elote man is, I need to introduce you to my friend. Just don't expect to see a grade on the side of his shopping cart because it's not going to be an A. But it's going to be a T for tasty. All right. That's what most people do with corn. They eat it. But a wise man will take the corn and he'll take every, because every kernel has the potential to grow another piece of corn. So in one corn cob, you could have hundreds, dozens, thousands, millions of corns. 2 Corinthians 9:6, put it up there because I'm running out of time here. Says this, 2 Corinthians, boom, it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully, plentifully, allotifully will also reap bountifully. How you sow is how you reap. See, the amount that you harvest or bring in is directly proportional to the amount of the seed sown. For those of you who like graphs and charts, think about that one. In Galatians 6:9, it says, God won't be mocked. What a man sows is what he'll reap. In the sense that if you're sowing stinginess and selfishness, then you will receive the same in kind. Just like a man who sows corn will get corn back, will not get oranges or apples. Just like a person who sows blessing will get blessing back. So what are you sowing and how much are you sowing? How much do you need? Because based on how much you need is probably based on how much you need to be giving of yourself. See, a sower sows, they plant seed. But something else a sower does is they scatter. Very rarely will you find somebody who just plants one seed. Expects it to grow. You like that? See, a real farmer will take hundreds and thousands of seeds and they'll plant rows upon rows. They scatter their seed. In Proverbs 11:24, the Bible says this. He says, there's a man who scatters. He gives away. He takes a handful of food and he throws it into the ground, into dirt where it can't be eaten. He scatters his seed, but he increases. There's one who withholds, who keeps it for himself. He withholds more than is right, and that leads to poverty. The next verse says this. In verse 25, it says right here, it says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. Hey, that'll preach. Don't mind if I do. You see, a sower scatters. He doesn't just put one or two out. See, in your life, if you only give into one little spot, if you're only, in a sense, if you're only nice to your mom or to your family, then you need to scatter. You need to be nice to more people. You need to be kind and generous. If you're only generous to your little brother because that's the only person you like, then you need to scatter. You need to scatter your seed of generosity into other places, into places that other people haven't sowed yet, into the mean and the ugly and the rude and the harsh. You need to scatter your seed. See, no wise businessman will only invest in one thing, but a wise businessman will diversify and spread out his goods and riches to many places so that he can have many streams of income in his life. He scatters. There's one who scatters and increases more. The idea is this, is you just, you know, just don't give just enough, but give as much as you desire. Yeah, there's a news story about a man who had two farmers, and one farmer, he was jealous of the other one's crop because it was twice as big as his. Turned and he even paid for an analysis of his soil. Turned out it was the same soil. Turned out they were using the same methods. Turns out that they were even using the same or similar equipment. The only difference was he eventually asked the guy next to him, he said, what's the difference? And they began to tally their numbers up, and it turns out that he sowed twice as many seeds as his neighbor. And that was the difference. The only difference was the amount that they sowed. He just didn't give enough. They did everything the same. But the reason he was falling behind, his crops weren't as bountiful because he wasn't given of enough. See, that's the way it works. A sower scatters. And lastly, shut it down right now, is a sower supplies or he reaps. See, look, man, if you give it all away, what are you going to eat? You're going to starve. If you eat it all, you have nothing to plant and you'll starve. It doesn't work both ways. See, Americans are consumers. You ever heard that before? Americans are consumers. Hence, they consume. All their money, they spend. All their effort, they spend. Look, Americans they like to go all out on that stuff. I mean, that's why people get credit cards. You get credit cards so you can buy things you can't afford. Right? Because if you could afford it, you wouldn't need a credit card. Right? I need more money that I don't have to buy things I don't need. Now. That's the way America works. But you see, a sower knows the balance between giving and receiving. He knows the balance of two out. See, a farmer is the first to eat from his own crops. So if you guys work or you get your allowance, you need to be spending it on you. You need to go to the movies. Buy yourself we showed those graphs. But don't feel bad about having nice things because some man in Ghana is getting 8 cents an hour. Okay, you can't all of a sudden hate your life because somebody is poorer than you. But what you can do is you can live your life well and then make sure your life is blessing other people's lives. That's how you do that man in Ghana and the doctors in Kyrgyzstan justice, is you live your life well because you're blessing other people greatly. And that's what Jesus would have us to do. See, there's this is the way most people, this is the way we should be spending our money, in a sense. Can you put my little pie? I have a pie chart for you, and I'll be done. I know you hate math, and there's testing this week, but I just want to show you a pie chart. Okay, here's my pie chart. Boom, of money. This is everything you make. $10 a week. Bam. The idea is this. The tithe means 10%. First person you pay is God, because that 10% belongs to him anyway. That's what, when we say tithes and offerings, that's what it is, 10%. So that first dollar, boom, goes to God. Here's what a smart person would do then, is they would then pay themselves. First person you pay is God. Second person you pay is you. You take 10%, you take that other dollar, you shove it in your piggy bank. Don't touch it. Then you live off of 8.
When it comes to this building program, well, then when you give of the building, let's say God's moved you to do something great in this building program to help pay attention. Well, then you would take from that 80% and you would find, what would God have me to do of that in that 80%? And see, if you learn to give and to live this way now, then when you start making $36,000 a year, it don't mean a thing to give 10% and save 10% because you lived your whole life this way. That's how me and my wife can tithe, because I've been doing this since I was 16 years old and I don't feel it. Some people are like, some people start tithing when they're like 30, 40 years old. They're like, oh, snaps, that's a lot of money. I know it is, but I never belonged to you in the first place. So why you gotta take God's money like that? God gave you 100%, always ask for 10%. Look, who has the biggest piece of the pie? You, okay? God's just asking for a little bit. He's like, I just want one slice. You could have the other 8 slices. Sounds fair, right? This is where it comes. Even if you were to do this with your effort and your kindness, your genuineness, then our lives would be blessed because you sow. Look, a farmer who eats 100% of his food has nothing to plant. A farmer who eats 100% of his crops has nothing to plant next year. So he will die. Right? So in the same way, a person who spends 100% of their money will have nothing to rely on the next year. And they will die. I mean, if you have like medical bills or something like that, probably. But you know what I'm saying? You have nothing to live off of. But if you begin at least, if you use this at the beginnings part, give God the first 10, give yourself in a savings the next 10, and then you live off the next 80%. In being kind and generous and loving people and paying your bills and your phone bills and your telephone bills and your car bills and your automobiles and your bills, then you learn to live out 80% and you're set. And you become a person who becomes blessed, who has seed to sow and a harvest to reap, because you're scattering what you have. You can count kernels on the corn, but you can't count the corn in the kernels. If you eat all the kernels, then all you have is the kernels on the corn. But if you plant the kernels, then you have the corn in the kernels. Oh! Somebody say, oh! All right, if you got something for God, to give him praise. Give God a praise tonight.
We want to thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.